Greetings from Topeka, Kansas, and from Pastor Bob Spagnuolo of the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church. I just got off the internet, Facebooking with Pastor Onserio, and explaining to him that today in America is a national holiday, which we call Memorial Day. Memorial Day was first called Decoration Day, and it followed the great American Civil War that was fought between 1860 and 1865 over the issue of slavery and the rights of each state to do with their slaves as they pleased. Slavery was an issue that was part of the American history in its very, very beginnings. Many of the slaves came from West Africa, many of which were kidnapped by other tribesmen in West Africa, sold to white men from Europe, put on ships, and were sailed across the Atlantic Ocean and eventually landed in Eastern America along the seacoast and some of the Caribbean islands like Cuba, Haiti, Hispaniola, and many of the South American nations at that time. And they were used basically as slave labor, working out in the fields, whether it was sugarcane, but in America they were used primarily to work in the cotton fields in the southern states. If you look at a map of the United States and you find Washington, D.C., all the states south of there, like Virginia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Texas, those states were primarily agricultural. All the states north of that line were primarily manufacturing cities. There was not that much of a demand for slaves to work in the fields. And so there was a great divide eventually that started in America shortly after its establishment in the late 1700s, after our war with Great Britain. And this issue of slavery kind of festered, and the congressmen and the leaders at that time, to include the American presidents, did their best to live with the issue. Many of them realized that slavery would eventually go by the wayside, but they just didn't want to make it happen right then and there. So eventually, when President Lincoln was made president in 1860, all those southern states decided they were not going to live under him, and they left the Union, and they chose their own president, their own vice president. They had their own Congress. They had their own Constitution, which was nothing more but a carbon copy of our original Constitution. And then the Great American Civil War broke out, and it lasted five bloody years. Some of the most bloodiest battles were fought on American soil to free the slaves. And Lincoln was able to prevail. The Union was finally saved and brought back together. But the greatest cost to America was the fact that somebody did not like what Lincoln did. And several days after being re-elected the president, a gentleman went into a theater home where Lincoln was watching a play and put a bullet in the back of his head, and Lincoln was assassinated, thus becoming the first American president who was killed while in office. So today in America, we honor all of the fallen men and women who have served our country. And today is a day where many people are off from work, especially the government and state workers. And a lot of people will be attending parades and celebrations, family get-togethers, going to military cemeteries and regular cemeteries to plant American flags at the tombs of the military dead. Well, that aside, I would like to continue our Bible lessons. I know that it's been some time since my last lesson, and I apologize. Got a little busy on this part of the earth, and so I would ask for your forgiveness in there. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. And again, I'll be trusting Pastor Onserio or any other of the men, the elders that might be helping him, to possibly pause and explain what things I'm going to be sharing with you. And so let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and allow me to read verse 11. The last time I sent you a message, we were looking at the biblical doctrine of creation. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Well, why is God worthy? Why must we give to Him glory, honor, and power? Well, the same verse tells us why. "For," or "because, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, once again, I do not know how this may be taught in the schools there in Kenya, but here in America, when a child goes to public school, which is paid and funded for by the American taxpayer, in America, grades kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, which is high school, there is no monetary charge to any of the parents, because that 12 years of education that is given to every child here in America is free, because the taxpayer funds public education. Now, if you put your child in a private school, like a Catholic school or a Bible-believing church, which may have its own private school, there you will pay a monthly tuition to have your child go to that school. And in America, it is possible, based on the number of children that you have, for a mother and a father to pay anywhere from $2,000 to possibly $4,000 a month to send their child to a private school. But in America, if you go to a public school, it's free. Now, the student may have to buy his own pencils and paper and notebook and things of that nature. But as far as attending a public school in America, there is no charge. Therefore, since the government pays public schools, they dictate whether or not Christianity or the Bible is allowed in a public school. And in America, back in the early 1970s, our Supreme Court made several rulings whereby prayer and Bible reading, which were once part of the school day, were removed. And that was all due to the fact of people who call themselves atheists. An atheist is somebody who believes there is no God. An agnostic is someone who believes, well, there might be a God, but we just cannot know Him. Well, these individuals got together in the late 1960s and early 1970s in America, and this legal battle went all the way up to the American Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, and they finally made a ruling based on the separation of church and state theology that in a public school funded by the government, no religion is to be taught, period. But there is a religion that is taught in American public schools, and that religion is called evolution, naturalism, which basically teaches there is no God, therefore everything got here by chance, with a whole lot of time and a whole lot of rolling of the dice, so to speak, and bingo, everybody is here today. That is the predominant teaching in American schools, especially in the sciences, whether it's science like biology, the study of man, the study of geology, study of rocks and such, fossils, archaeology, paleontology, the study of dinosaurs and bones. The underlining foundation in all American public schools is that there is no God. And therefore, the Bible is nothing more but a book of make-believe, a book of fairy tales, a book of superstition, and a book to be avoided. Believe it or not, despite America's early beginnings where the Bible was central, today in America, the Bible has been publicly removed from all public education. So, in America, you have two conflicting ideologies. You have two conflicting worldviews. You have people who believe there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and the Bible is a book of lies. And then you have the Christian community, which says there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the Bible is true. And so in my country, you have this dualism. You have two competing systems of belief. And right now in my country, there is a battle going on between these two factions. Well, when you come to the book of Genesis, and let's turn there, in the book of Genesis, you have the biblical worldview, which states in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, to an atheist, and to an evolutionist, and to a naturalist, there is no God. Their God, spelled with a little G, a little O, and a little D, is the God of time, the God of chance, and the God of simple, survival of the fittest. By survival of the fittest, we mean here in America, with the teaching of Charles Darwin and evolution, that goes back to the 1859, and his book, The Origin of the Species. The teaching is that life is nothing but a struggle. And the more predominant and the stronger species or the stronger individual is going to overcome the weaker species, the weaker people, and therefore eventually the weaker people or the weaker animals will die off, and the stronger person or the stronger races or the stronger cultures are going to prevail, and then the inferior races or peoples will be eliminated. And some of the fruits of evolution were quite noticeable in the middle of the 20th century when you had World War II. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and then those in the Japanese Empire who rejected God's existence and who believed in evolution, they saw certain peoples as being subhuman, less than human, and therefore they were to be destroyed, literally removed from the earth. And that's why in between 1939 and 1945, when Hitler was running Germany and trying to conquer the world, he had no guilty conscience in killing over 6 million Jewish people in those death camps that he built all across Europe. Stalin, one of the first dictators of the Soviet Union, he had no guilt of conscience killing millions of his Russian peasant people because he considered them to be inferior. He considered them to be subhuman, less than human, and therefore murdering them and getting rid of them was the natural order of things. So evolution has its consequences, and they are deadly, to say the least. But let me share something with you. Again, not knowing what is taught in the schools there in Kenya, let me share this from what I know is taught in the schools in America. For instance, the Bible says that the earth was made before the sun. The sun, moon, and stars were not made until day 4, based on Genesis 1. However, evolution teaches that the sun came first, and then the planets. Evolution teaches that at one time, there was simply nothing in the universe. And then eventually, nothing made everything. Well, even you beloved people there in Kenya know that nothing cannot make anything. If you want to plant crops, you got to go out there and dig up the ground, plant the seed, and then you water it. And then the plants come up. If you want to build a house, the house just doesn't come out of the ground all by itself. It takes a team of people, as well as the supplies, to build the house. Well, beloved, evolution teaches that everything got here by chance, that there was no God, there was no designer, and therefore life itself has no meaning, life has no purpose, life has no value. But the Bible teaches that God made the earth first. Evolution says, however, that the sun came first. Well, it boils down to a matter of whose authority are you going to believe? Do I believe the scientists who reject God's existence, or do I believe in what the Bible says? Here's another one. The Bible teaches that there was oceans first before dry land. Yet evolution teaches that dry land came first and then the oceans. There seems to be a total reversal or a total opposite between the teachings of evolution that says there is no God versus what the Bible says, which begins with God's existence. In the book of Genesis, we are taught that the oceans came first before the atmosphere when God separated the waters which were above the firmament. The word firmament means heaven or space or sky. You have waters which were above the atmosphere and the waters below the atmosphere. And yet evolution teaches that the atmosphere came first before the oceans. The Bible also teaches that light was shining on the earth before the sun was made. Notice verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So notice, by the end of the first day, God made the earth, and then we had the ocean. The earth was completely covered in water. And then God said, "Let there be light." But when you come to the fourth day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament," which means the sky or heaven, "of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon, and God made the stars also. So notice the difference here. The Bible teaches that on day one, God already brought a source of light into existence. But yet, the sun, moon, and stars were not made until the fourth day. Evolution teaches that the sun came first before the earth. Also, evolution teaches that the stars came into being before the earth. And yet again, we see, based on what I just read to you from the book of Genesis, that the earth came first before the sun, moon, and stars. Evolution also teaches that the earth was made at the same time with all the other planets. And yet the Bible teaches that the earth came first before God made all the other planets that circle the sun. Notice also, here's another big difference. The Bible teaches that the land plants, the trees, the grasses, came first before any of the sea creatures. And yet evolution teaches that all life began first in the ocean before life began on the earth or on the land. So can you see this great difference between man's explanation of how we got here versus what the Bible states? And in America today, there is a great academic battle going on. In many of American colleges and universities, evolution is taught as a fact. And if a Christian goes to a secular college or university, and if that college professor finds out that you're a Christian, these professors go out of their way to make you look foolish in front of the entire classroom by challenging you and asking you questions in order to shake you up and to make you look foolish in the eyes of your other students. That actually goes on in many American colleges and universities. Once that professor finds out that you believe in God, you believe in the Bible, and that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in my country, you will be verbally attacked in a college and university classroom because you stand up for your faith. Notice also, starfish were made before earthworms. Evolution teaches that earthworms came before the starfish. Notice also, the Bible teaches that the trees came before the land animals, trees that would bear fruit. Evolution teaches that the land animals came first before any of the trees were evolved. Also, too, the Bible teaches that man was made first, Adam and Eve, before death, sickness and disease came into play. But as I taught you, I believe, in the last lesson, evolution teaches that dying, disease, and death and destruction came first before man evolved from an ape or a monkey or a gorilla or a baboon and eventually changed and evolved into a man that stood upright on two legs. Well, the question is this: whose authority do I believe? Now let's consider this. If you begin with the premise or the idea or the foundation that there is no God, then you automatically lose any point of reference to make a moral judgment. If there is no God, who decides what is right and wrong? Well, the only one then who's left to make a decision on what's right and wrong is man. Well, man and his culture and his thinking changes over time. For instance, in my country today, the idea of two men and two women being married together and adopting children and establishing a family is now acceptable. Two men, two women, married. They cannot bring forth children in the natural way, so they have to go and adopt a child. And so you have two men with children today, two women with children today. And now in my country, in just the past 10 years, has become socially acceptable. Now, when I was a child, back some 60 years ago, that would have been unheard of. That would not have been acceptable. Here's something else. 60, 70 years ago, a woman with a child, but with no husband, was not acceptable. Today, you have women in America with no husband, maybe not even a boyfriend, and she'll have 2, 3, 4, 5 children from other men, and the taxpayer pays for her existence. They pay for her medical coverage for her and her children. They pay her a monthly amount of money to survive. It may not be a whole lot of money, but she can survive. But in America, if that same woman was to go get a job and bring home her own income, my government will penalize her and take away her government funding. So she's forced to be single, have all these babies with no husband, and those who do work and who pay the taxes pay for her existence. Well, beloved, in America, we are living in such a way that is contrary to the Bible. And so now many people in my country are suffering the consequences due to their sins. If there is no God, then there is no moral law. If man makes the laws, what is right and wrong today may be changed 5 or 10 years from now. There are no absolutes in America. Today in America, many children who go to public school and colleges and universities are taught that there are no moral absolutes. Nothing is right and nothing is wrong. You decide, the individual decides who and what is right and wrong. But for the Christian, who starts off with the premise or the foundation that there is a God, it is God who decides what is right and wrong. And he's already expressed that in the Ten Commandments. And so again, in my country, you have this conflict. You have this ideological battle between two opposing worldviews. One view says there is a God. The other view says there is no God. One view says that God is the lawgiver. The other view says there is no lawgiver. The other view says that when we violate that law, we commit sin. The other worldview says there is no law, and therefore there is no sin. Everything is relevant. What you want to do is your business. What I want to do is my business. As long as we do not harm or injure each other, everything is up for grabs. You can do anything you want to do. That is why in America, to this day, we as a nation have no guilt and no shame in killing 325,000 unborn children in their mother's womb as a means of birth control. So in my country, since we have said that there is no God, and we have removed prayer and Bible study and Bible reading out of public schools, which were once part of the public school system, now we have several generations of children that live as if there is no God. They live like an animal. They act like an animal. They kill like an animal. And it all stems back to whether or not you believe in evolution or whether or not you believe in supernatural creation. So it does matter what you do with the very first chapter to the very first book of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you believe in that, truly believe in that, then the rest of the Bible is very easy to accept, quite easy to believe, quite easy to follow. But if you reject the first verse of the very first chapter of the very first book, if you reject that, then, beloved, that people, that nation, that culture has made a covenant with death. And therefore, they will suffer the consequences of that decision. And in America today, we have a culture, we have a society that is basically killing itself. My hope and prayer is for you there in Kenya, amongst your own people, there with Pastor Umbasa, Pastor Onserio, Sister Rose as she teaches the children, and all the other elders that help and assist Pastor Onserio in the great work that is being done there in East Africa. My encouragement to you is to hold fast to the scriptures. Hold fast to the teachings that are found in the Bible. Fall deeper in love with Christ. Learn to read the Bible. Share the Bible. Have somebody read the Bible out loud. Listen carefully to the teaching and the preaching from God's Word. Do not turn your back on the truth of God's Word. Well, that's my first lesson for today. I'm going to take a short break and come back and pick up with another lesson.